This article is brought to you by the best-selling books Eat Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackhorn. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to talk to a colleague about behaviour that seems fine to others, but affects you specifically. A practical guide for raising personal impact without accusation. In short, when behaviour affects only you, the conversation is harder to justify and easier to fumble. You are not making a case about what is objectively wrong. You are asking another person to understand your specific experience. Own your response rather than prosecuting their intention. Be precise about the behavior, not the character behind it. Create space for their perspective without abandoning your own. Definition: a difficult colleague conversation is a direct, private exchange in which you raise a specific behavior that is affecting your ability to work, without attributing blame or bad intent to the other person. It separates observable action from personal judgment and invites mutual understanding. A colleague makes a joke at your expense in a team meeting. Everyone else laughs, including the colleague in question, and the moment passes, but it stays with you. It changes how you feel walking into the next meeting, how freely you speak up, how much you trust the room. You mention it to no one because, on the face of it, nothing happened. Weeks later, the friction between you and that colleague is real, and neither of you has named it. This is the specific difficulty of raising a difficult colleague conversation when you are the only one affected. The behavior is not objectively wrong. It is not a policy violation. Other people in the room did not feel what you felt. That makes it feel almost unjustifiable to raise. And yet leaving it unaddressed costs you something you cannot easily recover: the ease and trust that good working relationships depend on. This article gives you a step-by-step process for having that conversation with honesty, precision, and enough care that the other person can actually hear you. Why this kind of conversation feels different from others. Most difficult conversations at work involve something visible: a missed deadline, a raised voice, a pattern the whole team has noticed. When only you are affected, you lose that shared evidence. You are not appealing to a standard everyone agrees on. You are asking someone to accept your private experience as a legitimate reason to change something about the way they behave. That is genuinely hard to ask for. It takes courage to say, "This is my experience," without dressing it up as "this is objectively wrong." People avoid it because they fear being told they are too sensitive, or because they do not want to damage a relationship over something others shrugged off. But staying silent has a cost. Unaddressed friction does not dissolve. It settles into the ground between you and becomes harder to move. What you need to settle before you say anything. Preparation here is not about rehearsing a script until it sounds smooth. It is about getting clear with yourself first. You need to know three things before you open the conversation. First, what exactly happened, the specific observable behavior, not your interpretation of it. Second, what effect it had on you and your work, not what it says about their character, but what it changed for you. Third, what you actually want from the conversation: an acknowledgement, a change, a better understanding between you. Without that clarity, you will drift into vague discomfort and the other person will have nothing concrete to respond to. Get specific. If you are not sure of the specific behavior, you are not ready to talk yet. If you find yourself struggling to stay grounded once the conversation is underway, the approach outlined in How to Use the Core Framework to Stay Grounded During a Tense Workplace Conversation gives you a practical method for keeping your footing when the pressure rises. The conversation, a step-by-step process. Step 1. Choose the right time and setting. This conversation does not belong in a corridor between meetings. It does not belong in a message. It belongs in a private, unhurried moment, in person where possible. Do not have it the same day the incident happened if you're still carrying heat from it. A day or two gives you distance without letting the moment grow cold. Tell the other person you would like to find 10 minutes to talk privately, without agenda or alarm. "I have something I want to share with you. Nothing urgent, but I would like a bit of time with you's enough." Step 2. Open without framing it as an attack. The first sentence matters more than almost anything else. Your job in the opening is to signal that this is not an accusation. You are sharing something, not lodging a complaint. A simple, direct opening might sound like this: "I want to share something I have been sitting with. I am not sure how it landed for you, and I would like to understand your side of it too." That phrase, "I am not sure how it landed for you," does real work. It signals that you are curious, not certain. It lowers the temperature before the substance arrives. Do not open by saying, "We need to talk." Those four words raise every defensive instinct a person has. Open as if you are inviting someone in, not summoning them to account. Step 3. Describe the specific behavior, not your interpretation of it. Here is where precision saves everything. There is a significant difference between you make me feel dismissed and when you interrupted me 3 times in Tuesday's meeting. I felt like my contribution was not worth hearing. The first is a judgment. The second is an observation followed by a response. One invites defensiveness. The other invites reflection. Describe what you saw or heard as if you were a camera, the specific words, the tone, the moment. In the team meeting on Thursday, when you said X in front of the group, it landed on me like this. Leave out words like always and never. They are almost never accurate, and they shift the conversation from the specific to the character, which is exactly where you do not want it to go. Step 4. Own your response completely. This is the step most people skip, and it is the most important one. Your experience is yours to own. Do not ask the other person to validate it. Simply state it as a fact about yourself. I noticed I became quieter after that. I have been less likely to speak up in meetings since, and I want to fix that. That is ownership. You are not accusing them of silencing you. You are sharing what happened inside you and how it affected your behavior at work. This framing matters because it is honest and because it gives the other person something real to respond to. It is much harder to dismiss "this is what happened to me" than it is to dismiss "you did something wrong." For more on managing your own response when the conversation becomes charged, the core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction is worth your time. Step 5. Invite their perspective genuinely. Once you have said your piece, stop and listen. Ask a real question and mean it. I wanted you to know how it landed, and I'm genuinely curious whether that was your intention. There is a meaningful chance they had no idea. People are often unaware of the effect they have on specific individuals, especially when their behavior reads as harmless to everyone else in the room. Giving them the space to explain is not weakness, it is intelligence. It tells you whether you're dealing with an unintended effect or a habit they are aware of and unconcerned about. Listen without interrupting. Do not prepare your counterargument while they are speaking. If the conversation is going in circles because an underlying conflict is getting in the way, how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's synergy may help you think through the deeper dynamic. Step 6. State clearly what you are asking for. This is where many people go vague just when they need to be direct. You have told them what happened and how it affected you. Now tell them what you are hoping for. It does not have to be a big ask. It might be as simple as, "Going forward, I would appreciate it if we kept the banter more low-key when the team is watching." Or, "I'm not asking you to change everything. I just wanted you to know so you have the context." Sometimes naming the impact is enough. Sometimes you need a specific change. Know which one you are asking for before the conversation begins. If you are unsure how to frame the request when the conflict feels more entrenched, ideal method for resolving conflict that are fracturing team synergy offers a structured way to reach a working resolution. Step 7. Close on solid ground. End the conversation by reinforcing the relationship, not the complaint. Something like, "I appreciate you listening. This matters to me because I respect working with you and I want that to stay easy between us." That closing signals that you came to preserve the relationship, not to win an argument. It gives the other person something to hold onto as they process what you said, and it reminds both of you why the conversation was worth having in the first place. When you are working remotely, a conversation like this loses most of its texture over text. The absence of eye contact, posture, and tone turns carefully chosen words into flat statements that land harder than you intend. If you work remotely, insist on a video call, not a message thread and not an email. Turn your camera on. Ask them to do the same. The visual cues matter enormously here. You need them to see that you are not angry, and you need to see whether they are genuinely receiving what you're saying or simply waiting for you to finish. If the conversation uncovers deeper interpersonal tension, it is worth knowing that unmet needs are often driving the friction beneath the surface. Understanding how that works can help you respond with more precision. See how unmet needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy for a fuller treatment of that dynamic. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. where people go wrong in these conversations. Getting the steps right matters, but so does knowing where the common errors lie. These are the three I see most often. The mistake. Prefacing the conversation with a lot of people have noticed this. Why it happens. It feels safer to have company. What to do instead. Speak only for yourself. Borrowing other people's opinions to strengthen your case signals that you do not trust your own experience to be enough. It also invites the other person to argue about who said what, rather than engage with what you are raising. The mistake. Waiting too long, then coming in with accumulated grievances. Why it happens. Each incident alone felt too small to raise. What to do instead? Address the first instance that genuinely affects your work. One clear, early conversation is far more productive than a delayed confrontation weighted with months of unspoken frustration. The mistake. Ending without knowing what happens next. Why it happens. People feel relieved that the hard part is over and close down too quickly. What to do instead? Before you leave the conversation, make sure you both know what, if anything, has been agreed. Even if no specific change was requested, check that the other person heard you. Is there anything you want to say about what I shared? Keeps the door open and confirms the message landed. If the relationship has already reached a point of genuine breakdown, how the bridge method rebuilds working relationships after tension has created a real breakdown, and the deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate both offer structured paths forward from a harder starting point. Before you go in, a quick preparation check. Use this before the conversation. It takes 5 minutes, and it will save you from going in underprepared. Number 1. Write down the specific behavior you are raising. Use one sentence, as a camera would describe it time setting, what was said or done. Number 2. Write down the effect it had on you and your work. Be precise. What changed? Number 3. Confirm your intention. Are you looking for a change, an acknowledgement, or simply to be understood? Number 4. Write your opening sentence. Not a script, just the first sentence, but invites rather than accuses. Number 5. Decide what a good outcome looks like. Not a perfect one, a realistic one. Number 6. Consider whether you are ready to hear their perspective without arguing it down. If not, give yourself more time. That last point matters more than people expect. You're asking them to be open to your experience. The conversation only has a chance if you extend the same courtesy to theirs. This much I know for certain. After 6 decades of getting these conversations both right and badly wrong, the thing I trust most is specificity. Vague discomfort produces vague conversations that resolve nothing. A clear, owned, precise account of your experience gives the other person something real to meet you on. A difficult colleague conversation like this one is not easy to initiate. It asks you to hold your own experience as worth naming while staying genuinely curious about theirs. That combination of strength and openness is not natural for most people. It is practiced, but it is learnable. And every time you do it well, it gets a little less like climbing a hill and a little more like knowing the path. The relationship you protect may be the one that matters most to your work. Do not let a moment that can be named quietly become a silence that grows between you. Frequently asked questions. What is a difficult colleague conversation? A difficult colleague conversation is a direct, private exchange where you raise behavior that is affecting your ability to work without blaming the other person. It focuses on specific actions and personal impact rather than character judgments, keeping the working relationship intact. How do you start a difficult colleague conversation without sounding accusatory? Begin by owning your experience rather than narrating their intentions. Say what you noticed, describe the effect it had on you, and invite their perspective. Phrases like "I want to share something I have been sitting with" lowered defenses before the substance lands. What if the colleague insists their behavior is not a problem because it does not affect anyone else? Acknowledge that others may not be affected and hold your ground anyway. Your experience is real regardless of whether it is shared. Say clearly that you are not making a case about what is objectively wrong, only about what affects your ability to work well with them. How do you handle a difficult colleague conversation if the person becomes defensive? Slow down. Name what you are seeing without judgment. I can see this is uncomfortable. Then restate your intent. You are not here to criticize them as a person. Give them a moment to settle. Defensiveness usually drops when people feel genuinely heard rather than prosecuted. When is the right time to have a difficult colleague conversation? Choose a private moment when neither of you is rushed, stressed, or fresh from the incident itself. A day or two after the moment that prompted the conversation is often better than the same afternoon. You want both people calm enough to listen, not still roar from the trigger. What do you do if a difficult colleague conversation does not resolve the issue? Give it time, then try once more with greater specificity. If the behavior continues after a clear, direct conversation, consider whether you need a third party or a more formal process. One conversation rarely solves everything. What matters is whether the person understands your concern and is willing to consider it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.